Blog Talk Radio.
In a world of fake everything, one thing that's hard to find is real Christian people. They're out there, and we just happen to know a few. Sit back, relax, as I, Red Words Lou, interview Christians just like us.
I know this happened to Robbie Robb over on the TVC a few times where he had to call in his own show because he couldn't get it working out and everything like that. But, hey, it happens. It happens. We get time.
Yeah, it may be because I'm logged in there and I don't know. I never logged it out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's one of those things that happens. It's not a problem.
Yeah.
It really isn't. I'll talk to you on the phone. One thing I am going to do, though, is I'm going to disconnect my headphones because I can hear you coming through the other ones. Hold on a second here. Everyone, bear with me. Bear with me. Bear with me. All right. There we go. You still there?
Is it easier for you if I take my headphones out now that I can hear you and we both do it on the phone?
No. It's fine. You just stay like you are. If you can hear me, that's great. That's great. We worked it out. It only took 15 minutes. Praise God, man. Praise God. All right.
Well, I didn't know
hey.
When to call in because I couldn't even hear you on the radio through the blog talk. So I'm like, okay.
it could be anything. You know, I've had problems uploading my show for tomorrow because I pre-recorded it because I have a slew of appointments in the morning and it took forever to upload it. And then I finally got it done. I think they're still working out some bugs on their platform. But the fact of the matter is we're hooked up. We're here.
Yeah, I'm here.
We're raring to go. All right. So why don't we get down?
Yeah, we can hear each other.
Yep, get down to business here. So where are you? For everyone that's listening, where are you? You're in North Carolina?
Yeah, right now I'm in North Carolina. I'm in the city, so I'm in Charlotte.
Okay, in Charlotte, yep. And so you're in Charlotte, but where'd you grow up?
Well, I was born in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, but mm-hmm. when I was where we were, that's the closest hospital because it was like 30 minutes drive. But we were living in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania at the time, and then we lived
okay.
by the lake for a little while, and then we were at Nazareth, Pennsylvania before we came down here.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And that
So.
was when I was like 4.5, 5, but we spent half and half time, while my grandparents were up there.
Right. So, since 4 or 5, you've been down in North Carolina?
Yeah, I mean, made a lot of trips back and forth until about 2008.
Okay. All right. So, what about mom and dad and then things like that, grandma, grandpa, whatever, family situation? What was that like? Were you guys like in church or doing anything like that?
Well, there's a little bit of a backstory there. I mean, I always knew, who Christ was and all of that growing up, and we would go to church on Easter and Christmas and stuff, but you have to kind of go back to my grandparents to understand why it wasn't really pushed on me or it wasn't brought up that much, because my mom's dad was he was Baptist and he was always in the church, and he met my mom's mom in the church, but he was very doctrine, centered, like spirit of religion a little bit. And it was so there were certain things that my mom just was never, they weren't allowed to talk about, she didn't know about until she got older, and just very strict household. And on my dad's side, they were Catholic, and he's not practicing either, but it was both extremes, and I guess they thought it was better not to do that to me, because the way it was done to them was not the right way. You know what I'm saying? It was pushed on them. Because I remember, well, just because she'll be kind of in the story, my sister, I have a sister who's 6.5 years older, but she's from my mom's first marriage, because my mom was married right out of high school. And when my sister was 3, around that age, they got divorced for reasons that are biblically applicable. And then a couple years later, she married my dad. So my sister, when she was around 5, then my parents got married, and my dad raised her. So, the whole thing. But I do remember, and there's like, because I spent most of my time when I was up there with my grandparents, with my dad's side, with my grandmother, because my mom's mom passed away when I was just a baby. But there was one time, and this just came back to my mind recently, that my parents went out for the evening, and I stayed with my mom's dad, which I called him Pap, because one was grandpa and one was Pap. So my Pap, I stayed with him and a friend of my mom's in the family for years. Her name was Verna. She was a really sweet lady. So I stayed with them for the evening, and then he had to call and say, "You need to pick her up. She's being so bad." And they're like, "What happened?" Well, what happened was my mom was never allowed to watch Disney movies or anything growing up. So I had this Cinderella dress I used to wear apparently all the time when I was like 4 or 5. And he asked me, "Oh, so what's the movie about?" And I'm telling him, and I'm like, "The stepmother," and I'm like, "And she has a cat, because when you're a kid, you talk about the animated characters." He's like, "Oh, what's the cat's name?" And the cat's name was Lucifer. And he scared the living daylights out of me. I gotta talk, man. And so I was scared all night. I'm like, "I can't go up to bed. The devil, the devil." And then they're like, "What did you do?" And then Verna's like, tell her what you did. Tell them what you did." So that's what I remember. But he was usually a sweet guy, but when it came to certain things, could be very harsh and judgmental, so.
He didn't he couldn't bring himself down to your age. He was sort of doing things on his level, in a sense.
Yeah. And my mom grew up that way, so yeah.
So you sort of knew about God, but did you guys ever like attend any churches or anything like that growing up?
Well, we did. We went, on Easter, and we went on Christmas, and I spent some Christmases up there, so, and my grandmother. So I knew what was going on, but there was a time, and I think it was around, I don't know, somewhere before 9, so like between 6 and 8, I would think. We had neighbors next door, and I stayed with them while my parents were they were either out of town for the weekend or overnight or whatever. It was the only time I remember staying with them. But I went to church with them on Sunday morning. So, and it was the non-denominational, the pink church that we all went to. But their kids got up when it was time to do, because they were Catholic, communion thing. And I said, can I get up and go? And they were like, well, would your parents have a problem with that? And I said, no, they let me decide what I want to do. So I went and I did. And I remember that night, the girl was 2 years younger than me, but she knew, I heard them all saying the Lord's Prayer, and they knew it by heart. And I was like, well, this must be something. And I'm like, well, if Jesus said this, I'm like, I want to know it too. So I had her tell me like 3 times, and then I knew it by heart. And then I started asking my dad, instead of reading, I had all these books, you know, I love to be read to at night before I went to bed. And I said, can you read me the Bible, you know, before bed instead? And so he started doing that, but there wasn't a kid's Bible. It was just, you know, the straight up Bible. So, you know, about That's halfway right. into Genesis, when there's some kind of, there's some stuff going on that was a little bit like, I was like, maybe not anymore. I'm like, it went on for a while, but I was like, maybe not, you know. But I was interested, and I sought it out myself, and I asked about it, and I knew what was going on, and I always knew, you know, God was with me. And by the age of 9, I started having spiritual experiences, so, yeah.
Okay. So how did that springboard into your teen years then? You know, teenagers, they get all wild. They get their own ideas. They end up thinking they can run the world. They go off. They do what they do. You know, so what happened with you?
It happened a little differently with me, because around 8, 9 years old, I got really sick. And I was missing like 2/3 of every year of school. I mean, more than that. Like more than 3/4, but I was doing the work. I was really smart, but it just kept me back from my friends a little bit, and the attacks that I was having, and we didn't know why, they were just so bad that, I mean, there was one time where I literally saw what I thought was an angel type figure just encouraging me and stuff like that, because it was like a really bad, like death door type attack. And so I was, you know, kind of out from everybody else. And then as I got older, you know, it was okay for a while. And then around 14, it was getting worse. And I started, well, this is an important little factor, and I'll put it in. When I was, you know, 9 years old, we moved out, and my parents split up. We moved out for about 6 months to the apartments around the corner. And then when I was 11, then we came back after 6 months. When I was 11, my dad moved out to the apartments across the street. Then after 6 months, he came back. Now, when I was 16, me and my mom and sister moved to a house, and my parents got divorced. Now, during this time, so let's say between 14 and 16, you know, my mom was, you know, 20 years older than my sister being in her 20s, my mom, you know, they would go out together and things. And so, you know, I was like, I got myself in a little bit of trouble, because I would be like, well, you know, they're always going out. And I went in my sister's room, and I'm like, whatever this stuff is. So I poured a glass of like straight cheap vodka, and it, like, totally full in this big old glass. And I'm like, well, she's drinking this. I don't know. I was really naive about it. And I almost got, like, alcohol poisoning, so I didn't do that again. And, you know, started smoking cigarettes, because my sister was older than me, and, you know, you pick up things. And but when we were all together, there was the same time that I had to be taken out of school, because things got so bad that they wouldn't let me. Even though I could pass the test, they were like, no, your attendance and stuff. So I ended up trying to work full time. Didn't really go. All my friends were in school still, and I got my GED. So but I didn't get my license until I was 18, because that was a law down here that you just can't, even if you got your diploma, you know, or equivalent, you just can't. But so we were there until I was 19. So around 18, I started driving out with them and, you know, bars and concerts and things, and I would be in there with them. And so it led me to, you know, a situation that I kind of regret. But going back to what you were talking about, is around that age, you know, you start looking into things. So around like 14, when that incident happened with the alcohol, I was listening to older music like The Doors, because I saw the movie and I was like, oh, the music's good. This is interesting. Who's this guy, right? And they started playing reruns of The Monkees and stuff on the channel I watched at night, the Nick at Night thing before TV Land. And I'm like, okay. Yeah. And I'm like, so I get into all that type of music, and it leads down this road of, oh, well, I'm Christian, but I believe in reincarnation, because what happened was when I was younger, and I don't know if it was a family thing, a generational thing, or how I could see these types of things, but this, I could see this male 60s looking type entity, right?
Yeah.
And made friends with me in a way. So I was like, okay, and he's telling me the reason I see him and I'm having these kind of memories and thoughts is because reincarnation. And it made sense, but at the time. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm Christian, but I believe in reincarnation. And there's New Age people that will give you verses that make you think that Jesus said reincarnation, but that's not how, we know that's not how it is. So
right.
I fell down
right.
that rabbit hole a little, and since it was a little New Agey, you know, I had a Ouija board type thing. It was a psychic circle board, and I had some tarot cards and some runes, but I didn't really use them or anything, except for if my sister asked me to, because sometimes she would, you know, think about things like that, or if I had a prophetic thing, they would think, oh, a psychic type thing, but that's not what it was. So
where'd you get the Ouija board and the tarot cards? Did you go buy them? Did you pick them up at a flea market?
I bought them because I had to work full time then at that point, but I started losing when I was around 19, you know, I was losing jobs after the one place kind of burned down, and I just couldn't hold things together at that point. By then I had this stuff, and it was my stuff, because I remember one time my mom and my sister, I think I was around 18, or they tried to throw the Ouija board away. And I bought a really nice different one that said psychic circle mm-hmm. board and looked really pretty. And I'm like, no, now, you know, it's not, no. But I don't have any of that stuff anymore, but we'll get there later.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, that just led down that door where the things opened up when I was around 9, where, you know, that thing came through, and I just went on believing that, okay, that must be the case, a past life thing, and that's why I know a lot about this older stuff. I'm drawn to that older stuff. You know, maybe that's why, whatever it is. And then, you know, being the situation that it was, and the three of us out together, and, you know, my dad was going out, and, you know, different things, but I didn't see him a lot during that time.
Yeah.
It kind of led to a situation where, you know, I was like 18, 19, and I was dating someone who was 30, because I met him in the bar where my sister used to work, and she said he was a nice guy. And so I drove him home. I was 19. I drove him home because he said he was going to have to walk, and I felt bad for him. So he's like, well, come in for a minute. And, you know, so we're on the couch, and then that turned into something a little more than I wanted it to be. And then in my head, I was like, you know, it's time to go. And then it turned into something a little more than I wanted it to be. And then the next day, I tried to leave, and he's knocking on my window. He's like, I didn't get your phone number. And I'm like, oh, goodness gracious. So I ended up getting stuck in a relationship that wasn't so great. And he turned out to be an alcoholic, and that wasn't good. But I moved out because my parents got back together, and they're remarried now, but they got back together when I was 19, and I didn't much want to be there. So from 20 to 21, I was in an apartment with this guy, and he was out till all hours, and I was trying to keep a full-time job at Lowe's, and I was still sick, and I got to the point where I had to go to the doctor again, and I was starting to get sent to bigger centers and have stronger medicine than I needed, and, you know, he wasn't ever there. So it was kind of like I had my own place because he wasn't there. But when I would have to get up at 6 for work and he'd come in at 4 in the morning totally drunk and yelling at me, and it was not a good situation. So around Halloween of when I was 21, and I remember because the time of the year and everything, my family just came one morning and took everything basic out, and he had to walk to work because they, you know, were taking all my clothes out. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'm back home, because my sister had talked me into taking some acting classes, which is what I really liked at the time, at the community college. So that got me into college, where I ended up getting 2 bachelor's degrees and a master's degree. So, yeah.
Wow.
But it was a rough time because, yeah, it was a rough time because that door was still open to that stuff. And, you know, I would talk to my sister about it for a couple, you know, but she didn't really understand. She thought, well, you're either crazy or it's true. You know, it's like she didn't really get the spiritual side of it.
So
but,
now did this thrust you into a new age realm of things when you were into your 30s or so? Well, what are you?
Well, I call it like a
40s,
borderline.
50s, how old
oh,
are
I'm
you
35.
Now?
I'm
okay,
35 now. So
okay, gotcha.
Yes. So basically, the 60s music and the gateway of the thing that happened when I was 9, when I started getting sick, and that, you know, the reincarnation thing and things about that time, and even memories that would come on from that, you know, that spiritual attachment that it attached to me.
Yeah.
You know, it was something that went on, and but it wasn't as noticeable in my 20s. It was kind of like I had this stuff, like the board and the cards and stuff like that, but I didn't really do anything with it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So
yeah.
When I was going through college and everything, I was kind of focusing on that and on being sick and dealing with that and on how I was going to finish. And my relationship was over, so I was alone for a pretty long time after that, until like 2010. So, yeah, I was in school from 25 to 28, and that was a big growing time. And that's when, after I finished and I was going through Social Security, and I got on Social Security in 2012, backdated to 2010, and I couldn't work anymore after 2008. So things got, they changed because I couldn't, I was trying to go for my second master's. I couldn't do it anymore. Things were just getting worse.
Right.
So around this time, it never turned into like a full-blown thing, but around, it was just like, that the door was open enough for this thing to be attached to me that it kind of faded out after a while. But if I would get in a depressed type of state or something, and it had a lot to do with the music too. The type of music would let it in, where I could physically see this thing. You know, I could see it with my eyes.
Okay.
And so around 2015, we'll jump a little ahead. So around 2015,
okay,
I got very, very sick because hospitals were, you know, I didn't have a doctor that could take over my medicine the way it needed done. And there was a 3-week gap until I got to one. And my disease was so bad at that point that it took over and I didn't have any medicines for quality of life. So what happened was, I basically, you know, my dad drilled a hole in a Gatorade bottle, and I had a bag and a bucket, and I was in the bed, and my mom couldn't even take it. She had to go to my sister's because my nephew had passed away in 2011, and that's how we figured out what genetic disease I had. And then I found out I had lupus and all this other stuff. So I thought, you know, she's gone, and I couldn't even, I was so weak after the 3 weeks, I could hardly get out of the bed. But I made my peace with God, and I started praying a lot. And just, you know, I heard my sister on the phone with her, and I heard my mom say, she's eerily silent. She's just really quiet. And I knew that something was, you know, because I was always really, really quiet. But then there was a couple years once I started talking more, and they could tell the difference. Like, because when I was in pain, I was talking a lot, but I was just at peace, and I made peace with everybody and forgiveness about things that happened in the past. And at this point, my parents are remarried, and I'm at home with them. And so the doctor, you know, they threw me up on the table, and he's like, well, we need to get her stabilized before we try to adjust anything. And he did that. But he didn't really adjust anything, but he got it to where it was before, where I could at least, you know, do day to day stuff. Yeah. And so after that, though, I had this dream vision. It was a dream first, and then it was like an open vision after that. And this was early 2016, and this changed a lot of things for me. It was like I had a vision of what heaven was like, and with Jesus and stuff. And it was so that the love and the energy that I felt was so incredible and so life-changing. And what I saw, it's like I tell people, I can't really describe it even to you, because it was just that different, you know. It's just that, you know. But I had this experience, and I started, you know, getting in the Word and praying more and talking to Him all the time. And as that progressed, it just it changed a lot of things. So I met my boyfriend that year in 2016, but the other stuff hadn't been delivered off of me yet. So I knew a lot about older music. I still liked it, all of this other, you know, older movies and things. But the other thing, it didn't really come up unless I was in a relationship. So it came up a little bit, and at the beginning.
And the other
there,
thing being what? The spirit
the spirit that
entity
had attached to me. So yeah, and so I'm realizing at this point that I need to figure out what's going on with all this stuff in my house, with these nightmares that I'm having, why this stuff is going on. And so around, you know, I start reaching out, you know, places like, you know, for fellowship and online and researching things and hearing about spiritual warfare. And my life totally, totally changed before we get to this point. I'll stop at this one. So I was outside, and this was probably late 2016, and I'm talking to God, and I'm just like, I'm repenting things, and I'm like, but I'm praying, and I'm like, show me what I need to see, right? I just said, Lord, just show me what I need to see. And immediately after that, and I never went on YouTube, but immediately after that, I pulled up the YouTube, and I saw this sermon, and it was about how the New Age pretends to be Christianity and sneaks into the church. And it was this lady who used to be New Age and into witchcraft and was exposing it. And after I watched this thing, I was on my knees and I was in tears. I mean, I was just broken down. And I was like, Lord, I had no idea, no idea, you know, just no idea. And so I'm just repenting, and I'm going through all these things, and I'm having a big, long conversation with Him like I normally did, but this one was really emotional. And all of a sudden, I just felt a literal feeling of like cool water running through all of my veins. It's just like everything was just out. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm like, oh my goodness. It was like a very big experience. And then so we jump a little bit forward, and I'm more in the Word, but I'm still wondering why, because I knew now that this thing wasn't what it was, and I'm rebuking stuff, and I'm thinking about family stuff and generational curses, and I'm learning things and getting into the Word, and like I said, but I didn't know why it was quite so attached to me, and things were getting better in my life, but it changed in my relationship because I felt a conviction about anything outside of marriage. So our relationship changed very drastically after 1 year. 1 year in, that was it, all just stopped as far as that sort of thing. I didn't spend the night over there anymore, nothing like that, you know? And so that was an adjustment for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so, okay, that's also, let's see, it's 2019 now. So yeah. So after a year of that going on, about a year ago, you know, I found the TDC and I'm like, yeah, they're talking about the spiritual warfare and stuff. So I typed in a question about taking head of the household and giving it over to Christ and that sort of stuff. And he answered online. I'm like, well, it's not working. And he said, you know, give us a call. So I sent an email and he called me. And this would be Rob from TDC. He called. And I'm telling him the stuff that's going on and talking to him. And he got some insights about my past. And
yeah.
And I, you know, so he helped me. He got Scott and Shauna the second time we talked. And taken all the generational curses and family
yeah.
stuff and getting rid of that and delivering me from this thing that was making me have nightmares, because once I turned against it and was in Christ, instead of being, you know, trying to be really nice to me, it started attacking me, obviously, which is what happens
right.
really badly.
Right.
And so okay. trying to close all those doors and then deal with, you know, where illness came in and generational stuff and all of that and getting everything closed down. But I knew that, you know, it had been a while, and I'm wondering why I changed everything around and everything was good, but I didn't get rid of it. And I think it's important for people to know that once you open those doors, if you don't have someone to teach you how to spiritually be delivered from it and how to cut off those generational things, you might be stuck with that where you're having nightmares or things going on and continuing to go on and you don't know how to get free of it.
Right, right. Because Christians can have generational curses. There's bloodline curses. There's all kinds of things that even though we're proclaiming
yeah.
the name of Christ, because of you know, things that are hereditary, so to speak, through DNA, so on and so forth, you know, things that our ancestors have done can actually plague us, and we become confounded, and we don't know how to deal with things. We don't know why we feel the way we do, even though we're professing Christ, we're praying, we're seeking God. And when you're able to have a little bit of guidance, a little bit of insight, and some people that, you know, like you said, have a little insight on, you know, spiritual warfare and about curses and things of that nature, that's where you can end up, you know, really getting clean, where you can really get delivered, you know? I mean, Christ
yeah,
delivered
it was,
us. Yeah,
it was so, so important because, you know, my heart was in the right place and everything was in the right place. It was just, I never... You know, no church I had ever went to ever talked about generational curses or spiritual warfare or, you know, that sort of stuff to know what to do or why I wasn't able to just, you know, give it to God or, you know, any of those things. So it basically, it only took like everybody, you know, coming together that they were a little further in their walk and they had dealt with this before and me explaining and answering some questions for that to get cleared up. And as soon as it was, you know, I started talking to Rob a little bit more and, you know, I had prophetic stuff happen to me in my life and it's gotten, but since that was lifted off, it's gotten a lot more. So he was able to give me advice that I needed at that time that like a year ago that really has helped me a lot in the past 9 months to now about what to expect was going to happen, you know?
Right, right. It's always good to have some wise counsel, you know, and you and I both know
yeah.
that if every church was preaching about spiritual things in the demonic realm, that they would be empty churches because that's not what people want to hear. They want to hear the things that tickle their ears, that make them feel good. And if a pastor gets up or preacher and starts preaching about those things, he notices that he loses his tithers, his support for, you know, keeping the church going. And so they suppress that stuff and they choose to go down the road, you know, just speaking comfort, you know, And
and also sometimes people, you know, especially the way it happened with me, where you don't get really deep into something, but you just enough to open the door. Like I said, with the spiritual attachment that had attached to me, the way it presented itself and I could see it, it looked like a kind of like if you picture a guy from like the early 60s, like a greaser type guy, like jeans, dark jeans and a t-shirt, you know.
Yeah.
Dark hair, like Italian looking. That's how it came across to me, because it probably knew that's how I would accept it. You know,
yeah,
it comes how you how it
Italian
thinks
demon.
How it thinks. No, what I'm saying is it made itself. No, but what I'm saying is it made itself attractive to me physically, and it was also polite and like a romantic type of thing because it wanted to take my energy and my time. But a lot of people, when they think of, oh, you have a spiritual attachment, they think immediately that the thing is going to be, you know, messing with you every night, keeping you up, terrorizing you. But really, it came in as a very benign type of thing, you know, like music's on, dance with me type thing. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
As a teenager. And I'm like, well, this is, I'm seeing something other people can't see, but I don't
more
know. I didn't know what was going on.
In a sense, more or less
yes.
seduced you, not in a sexual way, but through your emotions and your feelings and
exactly.
just your being.
And it tried, you know, as far as to take it to a further extent. It got pretty far into my life because I figured. At that time, being a teenager, I was like, and then early 20s, because people say early 20s that you know, you're an adult. I'm like, when I was in that apartment for a year, I was not an adult. I'm like, I was not,
mm-hmm.
no, I didn't know anything about anything. But, I'm like, oh, well, this is my, you know, lost love from a past life. Well, you know, that's not the truth. But so when
yeah.
I realized all of this and I cut it out of my life, obviously,
okay.
things get totally different. Like I'm having, you know, seizure type stuff in my sleep, and I'm like, why am I digging into my hands? What's going on? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Dreams,
so now when
lucid dreams.
You spoke with Robbie Robb from the TDC. You talked to Scott and Shauna from Reigning Redemption and the TDC. Now, what happened at that point? Did you renounce any kind of family curses, bloodline curses? Did you, repent of things? How did it come about? Now, you're telling me that afterwards you still are having some effects of this, you know, Italian stallion.
This was not after that. After I
this
spoke
was
with
before.
That.
Okay.
Yeah, because that was only like a year ago that I reached out to them. Now, at that point, I had gotten rid of all the stuff. I'd anointed the house. I'd repented
mm-hmm.
everything, and I had that, you know, experience with the water running through my veins. I was adamant
okay.
of getting anything connected to stuff out of my house, but what I couldn't do and didn't know how to do was to take all the and there was other stuff that came not from me that was around the house, and I couldn't take control of it. And
right.
they helped me with the renouncing the generational curses and stuff,
yeah.
and explaining about this particular thing to them and how it presented itself to me. They said there was two other women they had spoken to of varying ages, one older than me, one younger than me, that gave the exact same account of this type of, positive at first male type figure coming into their spiritual life that they could see.
Right.
And they were like, how is it connected to all three? So they're asking me questions and they're like, what can we do? And I and Rob said something and thinking, well, God's saying this, and the devil's like, well, they send them in young so that they can get people young. And I got really mad in my spirit and I said, no. And either Scott or Shauna said, that's where it is. It's that God had you before that, the foundations, and you were not consenting to this because it came on when I was 9 years old, you know?
Right.
So we all prayed together and got that knocked out of the park and other things. But then after time and talking to Rob, and this, you know, after about 6 months, we decided to do the radio show.
Right.
And at that time, you know, all this is cleared up, things are good, but you don't realize when you're going into ministry that you're going to get attacked again in a different way. You know, it's time for different kinds of spiritual warfare, and there have been.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so, you jump into another level of warfare in a sense, because now you're presenting the gospel to the masses,
exactly,
so to speak, and there comes a different dynamic with spiritual warfare and things of that nature. That's a given, but to you, I mean, you find out that, you know, hey, things are a little different than they were before.
Yeah, it was about 5 years before I spoke to them that, you know, everything was cleared up. I just didn't know why certain things weren't going away, and that was having to break with the generational curses and figuring out where this thing got its way in so young, you know?
Right. And
taking the control back.
You know,
and after that, everything let loose, you know, with me being able
right.
to move forward with the
Amen.
With the gifts
Amen.
That I had and stuff.
Yeah. So what happened now is Robbie Robb invited you to come on the show. I know that you came on the show a couple of times, and you became a host on the One Long Minute show for a while, and then things backed off there for a little bit. But now you're on the show.
Well, it was actually a different show. We started a show together, and it had a different name, and that went on for a little while, and then that stopped, and then he started doing One Long Minute, and he did that for a while, and I needed my time to grow, and he was going through some stuff, and I was going through some stuff, but it needed to happen
okay.
so everything could get stronger. And then he's doing the One Long Minute show, and I started coming in on a random times, and then now I'm doing every Monday with him back in the swing, and now I'm headed toward doing my own.
Right. So, you know, there was a little pullback time or a little reorganization time where, you know, you dealt with whatever you were dealing with, you know, seeking God, moving on with what's going on in your life, and now you're back, and it looks like you're going to be having probably a show at some point by yourself, whatever the Sherry show, whatever you end up calling it, who knows.
It's actually called that. It's going to be called Trimming the Wick.
Trimming the Wick. Okay, that sounds familiar to me. I think that was a name thrown out a while ago for a show. So Sherry's going to have the Trimming the Wick show. Now, between then and now, you had told me of something miraculous that happened.
Yes.
Yeah, and
yes.
I really want to get into that because that's intriguing to me, you know, because I've had certain things happen in my life, things that I've experienced, and I want to let the audience in on what you had just experienced. So why don't you give us a little background on that and lead us through that?
Yeah, and also, you know, after all that stuff lifted off, then I was able to, you know, speak in tongues, and the gifts that were being withheld from me because of all those blockages came down. So with my boyfriend, you know, things had happened where I would have to, you know, pray for him and put my arms around him, and I would just start praying in the spirit, and it was new to me, but it was, you know, that's what it was. I got that happening. And then I found out about 6 months ago, and, you know, by that point, you know, everybody kind of knew my walk. It had been going on for a while and all this stuff. But he told me that his sister, Shelley, because his whole family's in Minnesota, and he's down here by himself, and his sister had found out that she had, like, it was cervical cancer that also went into the ovaries and started eating over into where the ovaries had cancer in them as well. So,
yeah.
And it was stage four, and they, you know, she was doing radiation and then taking a week off from work, but it was just making her sicker, and they gave her pretty much no chance at all. And then she was going in for her radiation, and this was just, I think, Thursday before this last one here. He called me and he said, something amazing happened. And I'm like, you know, what's going on? And he's like, well, his sister went in for her appointment and, you know, they checked her blood and then they ended up having to do a lot of extra tests because they found out that there was no cancer there at all. They couldn't find any at all and no single cell at all. So they said, you're 100% healed. And then the doctors were like, but there's a 75% chance it could come back. And I told him, I said, tell her not to eat those words, that she's healed and she's going to be fine. And he told her, you know, you're already healed. Jesus did a miracle. And don't even listen to what they say about it could come back, because that's amazing. And
yeah,
it is.
Absolutely.
Because she was so sick, and they weren't expecting her to make it. But I told him in the beginning, you know, and I've been praying for her every night and in my prayers, and we prayed together, and I told him, when she gets healed, remember this, you know. And I said, remember I told you, Jesus, because I just felt it in my spirit that she was going to be fine, even though he's telling me, no, it's stage four, you don't understand. I'm like, no, she's going to be fine. And I don't know how, it's just my spirit knew. I'm like, she's going to be fine, and she is now. And that's praise the Lord, you know.
So now
amazing.
How does your boyfriend look at your faith now? I'm just assuming that he might be wavering with Jesus and everything like that. Now, where he hears something where you tell him you've been praying that Christ is going to heal her, and you've been praying, and all of a sudden she's healed. How did that impact him?
He's been a little bit different. I think at first he was like, oh, this is maybe some excuse to something, or maybe you're interested in someone else, or because of the whole thing of changing the dynamic of our relationship with not, you know, changing it to abstinence where it hadn't been before. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So
yeah.
He was a little resentment about that there. And then he's like, no, it can't be this. It can't be that. And then now I think he gets it. And then he had said to me once, why does every woman I go out with, they end up, you know, following Jesus and then changing their minds about these certain things? And I'm like, because that's a good thing. And I'm like, but it's you that isn't changing. And then he started to think about it. And then all of these things, you know, not just that, but other things that he's experienced and coming to realize himself, I've seen a lot of growth with him. And it's not... I can see it because I'm close enough to him to see the small changes that are going on. But when this happened, he had no doubt at all that it was Jesus. And I know that he repents and he prays, and he actually goes in his closet because he's got a big walk-in closet. So I'm like, if I did, I'd probably be sitting there too.
Yeah, he's got himself a big prayer closet. So now when he heard the news, I mean, did he get, you know, when somebody hears the news and you might be standing there and then they hear something, I mean, what did his face look like? Was it like, did it have that like jaw drop thing, like just open wide eyes, and he looks at you going, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah, it was, he was like, you're not going to believe this because something amazing happened. It was almost like he was shaken up because he's like, it's totally amazing. You're just not going to believe this. And then when he told me, I was like, I did believe it. I said, yeah, Jesus healed her. And he's like, yeah. But he was like the shock of like, yeah, he did, you know. He was like getting it.
Right.
But then
God,
I felt
man.
A little, you know, I went and I told my mom about it. And she's like, well, she's had radiation, right? And I'm like, you know, that was not helping at all. And she wasn't getting any better. And I'm like, this was all Jesus. You know, some people will try to rationalize a little. And I'm like, but he didn't even do that. And I was surprised. He was like, man, he was just in awe of it happening. because it was his sister, and he was the one telling her not to believe what the doctors were saying, that it could come back because she was 100% healthy, and just to remember that that happened for her and it wasn't going to change, not to doubt it. So
yeah.
I thought
Jeez,
that was
Jesus.
A great thing for him. And I had told you that they had had some issues after their father passed away, that she had been staying with him, and she had put him in a home when she couldn't do it anymore because she had some, you know, she was getting sick. And they didn't really know at the time, but the family wasn't really speaking to her. And then when she got sick, it brought them back together. And now that she's well, it's leaving a place for them to all make amends, you know. So I saw that
yeah.
as a secondary gift for them.
Yeah. Now, so how do you feel, you know, being saved, being a Christian, do you feel like you're in a position to where God has opened doors for you to actually witness a little more, giving you a little more liberty to where you can proclaim Christ and actually maybe, you know, lead her to repentance and to salvation, you know? How do you feel about the whole thing? Is this something that you're looking at as an opportunity to, you know, evangelize with?
Well, I mean, I think that everything, and there's not enough time to tell you how many times in my life God has put his hand in and saved me. I mean, I should be dead like a million times over and just multiple different things, but just so many things that I've seen and experienced. And this is another one. So anytime there's a time where I can let people know about something that they can connect to, whether it's, you know, whatever area it is, I typically have an experience or know somebody that's had an experience, whether it's medical, whether it's, you know, coming out of, you know, something being attached to you, whether it's switching over from a different type of idea that somebody else is pushing on you. What I mean, a lot of doors have opened up and a lot of things will have happened where I've always had a little bit of the prophetic stuff, but I didn't really know how to handle it. And then even before it became a really bigger thing, you know, speaking to some people that had dealt with it before helped me know what I was getting into before it even really started to pick up like it has.
Right. Wow. Well, praise God, man.
I mean, there's we've been on the phone this long or on the radio this long, and I'm just like, there's not even enough time to, because now I'm thinking about all these times the Lord has put his hand and saved me, you know. But
yeah, well, you and me both, but we do have to wrap up the show. That's why I'm sort of moving along with that testimony.
I want to leave people with mainly is that it's not the Sherry show. It's not my life story. It's just giving glory to God for the things that he's done and is doing in my life with my health. I know, I mean, everything happens in the time that is the Father's will. So if you have something and people are saying, oh, you have so much faith, why aren't you healed yet? Don't listen to that, because it happens when it's supposed to happen and when other people see that, and it's all glory for the Father. So it's all good.
Right. Right. Absolutely. And, you know, ultimately our healing is in heaven. We look at things where, you know, my wife, you probably heard me talk about my wife, you know, through a whole lifetime of dealing with problems from the cancer she had and winding up paralyzed in bed, so on and so forth. And the question was posed to her is, if you're yet. And my wife's answer would always be that if he doesn't heal me here in the now, then I will be healed when I'm in heaven, because I'll have a resurrected body. You know, I'm not going to be a little overweight. I'm gonna be as perfect as he wants me to be, and that's quite all right with me. Amen.
Yeah, that's the right answer. I mean, because even in my own family, you know, trying to talk to my dad about certain things, you know, he would be like, well, you know, if your faith is so strong, why aren't you healed already? And I'm just like, I will be. It's just, it's going to be God's time. And if it's not here, it'll be there, like you said.
Right, right. And a lot of people sometimes just use that as something to, you know, push you away a little bit. I'm like, I don't want to talk about this.
Yeah, they're like, I'm uncomfortable with it. You know, what you're saying doesn't have any credibility because you're not healed anyway.
Right.
And I'm
exactly.
Like, no, I just got a little too close to a nerve for you, but you can think about it and then we'll talk later.
Yeah. Well, the proof is in the pudding. And, you know, when you see somebody that, you know, let's just take myself for example, because I can talk about myself, you know, where I was such a rebel and such a hellion and went through a lot and was the kid the least most likely to succeed, to be dead by the age of 18, all this other stuff. And you see that I'm now in my 50s and, you know, I'm alive, I'm praising God, I'm serving God, gone through a pretty decent life, you know.
Yeah, people didn't like think I lived to be such and such an age. They didn't think that I'd ever, you know, get my high school equivalent, and I actually have a master's and more. And then they didn't think, yeah, you know, this and that and the other. And I'm always like, I'm like, God can do anything. So I'm like, even the situations I'm dealing with now with disability and financial, if he wants to heal all that, then he will. And
right.
when it's the time.
But I think the
you
one
know?
Thing we need to realize is that every day I walk with Christ is a testimony, whether we realize
yeah.
it or not. You know, we are testifying of God's grace, His mercy, His love, and His forgiveness every day that we're alive. So,
and you can see it in every situation. I mean, you could go on for forever, but yeah,
yep,
it's an
yeah.
and every day it's just another. I just think it's another day to do as much as I can for the Lord every day. Instead
right.
of, you know, when I didn't really think about it much, it's like now every day that's where my mind is. It's the most important thing. It's the most important relationship, and that's as it should be.
Yeah, absolutely. But God's number one. Number one before our spouses, before our children, before everything. Because without Him being number one, everything else doesn't work out. That's already been proven to me and numerous amount of other people.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
You have to put everything,
yeah.
you know, to Him.
Yeah.
Even
well,
your children.
We're going to wrap this show up here, but I appreciate you taking the time to come on. I appreciate you. We had some problems getting everything hooked up and everything, but it all worked out for the best. And, you know,
yeah,
I'm glad.
Yeah, it threw me off a little in the beginning there, but it went fine.
Yeah, that's okay. That's all right. It all worked out, and I'm thankful for that. So, hey, thanks for coming on. I really appreciate you. I'm looking forward to your show whenever that comes about. But for now, we can catch you on Monday nights with Robbie Robb on the One Long Minute Show on the TDC Radio Network on Blog Talk.
Yes, you can.
Yep. All right. Well, that sounds like a plan, man. Or a woman.
And then hopefully,
I can't say man
you
to
know.
A woman.
Well, you can. I say man. It's just lingo. Or dude,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable calling you dude, so I'm not going to do that.
I think it's a generational thing. Or a... No. I don't.
Yeah.
I can't either.
Yeah, please. I mean, you're gonna get a mustache soon enough. You're probably gonna be like 90, pulling hairs on out from under your nose or whatever. I mean, you know, I guess that's acceptable, right, for a woman to have a mustache. But for now, we'll keep your mustache free.
That's funny.
All right, kiddo. Hey, you have yourself a wonderful night. We'll be hearing you on the TVC. And, you know, I really appreciate you coming on. So thank you very much.
Yeah, hopefully somebody out there connected with something I said. I don't even really remember what I said right now, but I will later.
Yeah. Well, and if anyone wants to get in touch with you, do you want to give them an email or anything like that?
Oh, yeah. I don't have any problem with that.
Okay, well, what's your email?
You can get in touch with me at actress, A-C-T-R-E-S-S, angel, A-N-G-E-L, the number one, at AOL.com. I know it's old school, but AOL.
Actress Angel, number one, at AOL.com. All right. So if you're out there, you want to shoot Sherry an email. I was going to say text, but shoot her an email. you want to talk with her, maybe converse with her. Maybe you're involved with something that she was involved with there and you're looking for a little bit of advice. Go ahead and shoot her an email. And if not, listen to her on Mondays on TVC Radio Network. Amen. All right, kiddo. Hey, I'll be listening to you. You take it easy. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been a good time, and it usually goes pretty fast. So.
Always does. All right. Hey, we'll catch you later.
All right. Bless
Bye-bye.
You all. Have a good night.
You
Bye-bye.
Too. Bye. All right, there we go. That's Sherry from TVC Radio Network, co-host of the One Long Minute on Monday nights on TVC Radio on Blog Talk. Looks like Blog Talk's going to be hanging around on, or TVC is going to be hanging around on Blog Talk for another month. Still working out some bugs with the server and the other ventures we have. So be sure to tune in on Monday nights. And when there is an announcement, when she starts her own show, I'm pretty sure it's going to be on tdcradio.com. That is TDC Radio's new website. You can go over there, www.tdcradio.com. I believe that's what it is. Pretty sure it is. Anyways, log in there. You'll see a link for my show. The You Know What I'm Saying show, you'll see a link for the One Long Minute show, the Reigning Redemption show, or the Furnace, I'm sorry, the Furnace show, which is a music show on Wednesday nights, and there is also the 828 Project show, which is on Saturday nights from 8 to 10, where you have Robbie, Scotty, and Shauna, and they just sit back, kick back, and let the spirit move there. And we have some plans for some other shows coming up in the future. So you stay tuned, tune in, and see what's going on. I got a few dogs in the background. I got to go straighten up. So, hey, this is your host, Red Words Lou. I am going to leave it at that. Thank you for visiting Christians Like Us on Wednesday night. Catch us next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. We have a buddy of mine, Kevin, from Jacksonville, Florida. He's going to come on, give us his testimony. He's an old Army buddy of mine, and he's serving God, and he's going to tell you what's going on in his life and give you his testimony. So until next week, for Christians Like Us and for the You Know What I'm Saying show, it's Red Words Lou. Stay saved. You know what I'm saying? I'm out of here. Bye.